Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm excited about our guest today. I have Stephen Key with me, and Stephen is the world's leading expert on how to license a product. He's also a 2018-19 AAAS Lemelson Invention Ambassador. He achieved repeat success as an independent inventor, including defending his intellectual property against one of the largest toy companies in the world in federal court. The innovative packaging solution he brought to market is protected by more than 20 patents and received 15 industry awards, including two Edisons. Products he invented have sold in Walmart, 7-Eleven, and Disney stores and theme parks worldwide, as well as been endorsed by Michael Jordan, Alex Trebek, and Taylor Swift. His coaching program, Eventbrite, multiple books, and popular YouTube channel, Eventbrite TV, have helped people from more than 65 countries license their product ideas. It is my pleasure to welcome Stephen to our show today.
Well, thank you very much for that introduction.
Yes, it's pretty impressive, I'll say that.
Well, after, you know, when I listen to it, it's like, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. We'll see, I guess, on this interview.
Yes, we will. Well, you know, you can't deny the awards and you can't deny the success statistics. So those are pretty real. So congratulations on all of that. That's wonderful.
Well, thank you very much.
So let's just fill in some of the gaps from that bio and let's get to know you a little bit more. Tell us a little bit more about your journey. How did you get where you are today, earning all of these awards? And then what are you really able to help people do today?
Well, let's see. I started studying economics at Santa Clara University in Silicon Valley. And I realized very quickly that I didn't want to be a business person. I didn't like business. So I took an art class by mistake and found that I loved to work with my hands. So I transferred over to another school, San Jose State University, and started to study art. And I realized very quickly, wow, I'm not going to be a great artist here. So I started to combine a little bit of business with my art. And I went down that road of creating things and selling things at street corners up and down the state of California, which led me to work with a startup company in the late 80s called Worlds of Wonder, which we launched Teddy Ruxpin, the first talking teddy bear, and laser tag. And that's where I learned about licensing, how creative people like myself can come up with ideas, show those ideas to companies that are looking for ideas, and if they like it, they will rent it or license it from you and pay you a royalty on each and every one they sell. It's a great business model for people like myself that really don't want to run a business. So that's what I've done through my career, license ideas to companies, and now I educate other creative people how they can do the exact same thing.
Wow, that's awesome. So you kind of just took the best of kind of what you were studying and said, how can I sort of blend this into finding the perfect career for myself?
Well, kind of, you know, I realized very quickly that I wasn't going to be this great artist. So I just started making things and I realized very quickly I really enjoyed it and I could test my ideas very, very quickly. Which led for about, I don't know, I would say about 5 years of just selling things at street corners. And everybody thought I was the biggest loser on the planet, including my family, my friends. They were buying cars and they had great jobs. And that journey eventually led to my first job. That was at Worlds of Wonder. And I learned all about licensing. And that business model is not being taught today at the university. So this model of how to launch ideas through not starting a business is gained popularity. because a lot of people just don't have the time, maybe experience or the money, but they are very, very creative. And the licensing business model allows anyone in the world to participate because the barrier of entry is extremely small. You know, you don't really need a patent and you don't even need a prototype. But if you can learn this process of licensing, anybody can do it at any age.
Wow, that's great. So let's talk a little bit about how then this business model that you have become so great at, how's this affected your lifestyle? How are you able to sort of do what you want to do while still enjoying the life that you want to have?
Well, I quickly realized I didn't want to work for anyone. And I married this amazing woman that I met at Worlds of Wonder. And I knew that I wanted to make a living and support my family by being creative and licensing my ideas. And she only gave me about a year to figure it out. So, or she was going to make me get a job. That didn't sound great. So I figured that if I showed a company the benefit of an idea, that if they liked it, then maybe I would do a couple other things. But by showing them just the benefit through a sell sheet, a one-page marketing piece that showed my product idea, which could be a drawing or a 3D computer-generated rendering, and if they liked it, then it was a really easy concept. It allowed me to be an idea factory. Mm-hmm. It allowed me to come up with a lot of ideas. So it allowed me to the thing that I really love about licensing, and my father had mentioned this to me early on in my career. He said, Steve, in order to create great wealth, you have to figure out how to do something that doesn't require your hands, your presence, and has a multiplying effect. And I didn't get it at first until I was on that production line in China overseeing Teddy Ruxpin. And I realized the inventor of Teddy Ruxpin, Ken Forsey, was not there. He wasn't using his hands. And that factory was that multiplying effect. And he collected $1 million in royalties every year.
Wow.
And that's when I was hooked. I was like, well, I've got to figure this out, because then I basically would have control over my own destiny and I could design my own life.
Right. So you teach courses now that helps individuals, you said, of any age that might have an idea on who might want that idea and then how to go about licensing it?
Yeah, what happened about 21 years ago, I went to my first inventors group in Santa Clara County, and I met my partner, Andrew Krauss, and I didn't know that people were struggling with this whole process of inventing. And because it was fairly easy for me, and I started to show some of the things that I had licensed to this group of inventors, and I realized very quickly I was doing it very differently. And we started a company 21 years ago called Invent Right, R-I-G-H-T, and I just wanted to talk about it. Now, today, Invent Right, you know, we have students in over 65 different countries. We see a signed licensing deal almost every week, not quite, but almost every week. It all depends on the time of year. So I teach the steps of licensing through videos, through books, through articles. And we also have a coaching program. But all the information I give away for free on my YouTube channel and through all the articles I've written over the years.
Wow, that is great. So let's talk about skill sets, because everybody's kind of got their superpowers, right? And I think it's good when you identify yours and you're able to use them in their best way. But what have you identified as kind of your superpowers that have really sort of helped you in your success journey?
Kind of love that question. I started failing in second grade, and I've been failing ever since. I have a learning disability that made school very, very difficult for me, but it gave me my superpower. And that superpower is able to look at things differently, to find a way around obstacles where some people might, maybe they're not making those type of connections. So I have the ability to look at a situation and think, well, what are the options? You know, why do we have to go straight? Maybe we could go to the left or to the right, or maybe we have to go inside of a different door. So any obstacles that come in my way, such as writing, I'm not a writer. I can barely put two sentences together, but I've written over 1,000 articles on Forbes, Inc. and Entrepreneur and other platforms, and I've written 5 books. But like I said, I'm not a writer. So I think that's my superpower, is figuring out how to get around situations that I think would definitely hold me back.
Wow, that is great. I think that is, honestly, that's a great superpower to have. And it's not one that typically people share, so I love it that it's a little bit different. But I think that's what really sort of holds people back, is they get stuck and then they look at it as a dead end. They don't try to figure out how to go around, how to figure out another way, how to figure out a solution. I see that probably 80% of the time.
Yeah, I think there's a fear of failure.
Oh, absolutely.
And trust me, I don't like to fail either. But I guess I've gotten so used to it that it irritates me. It doesn't stop me. It actually motivates me to find a way to succeed. So, like I said, I've been failing since the second grade. And I was tested in my mid-40s because I wanted to go back to school. And they said, when I took these tests, they said, you know, Mr. Key, we really don't know of anything you could do. I tested so poorly. And that's when I realized that I was different. And then I started to realize the guilt went away for being different. But you know what else happened? I realized, because I'm different, I can see things a little differently, especially for being an entrepreneur. It's a great tool to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful tool. And if you look at all the entrepreneurs, I think like 60%, they have some type of learning disability. So I'm not alone. And
right.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that have obstacles or having difficulty trying to navigate around those obstacles. Yeah.
I think you're right about that. I think that I think a lot of entrepreneurs end up being in that path because, in oftentimes, the academic path wasn't a real easy one for them.
Hmm. Well, it's not. but what's really great about the licensing business model, I guess that was a model that didn't have any barriers, that I didn't have to start a company or hire employees or write a business plan or raise money or do any of those things that just seemed impossible for someone like me.
Wow.
So, but what I was very good at was looking at a company's product line and looking at what types of products they might come out a year later. How to take those existing products they're selling today and make them a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And by looking at a company's product line, I could come up with some new, not too new. I didn't want to reinvent the wheel, but I wanted to make some small changes on their existing products that they were selling and then show those companies these small improvements. There was no risk to them because they were already selling. And it was easy for me to target those companies without just waiting for inspiration to hit. So, So over the course of my career, I've licensed many ideas in different types of industries. And the licensing business model is extremely popular now because companies can look at ideas from outside their walls. They don't have to count on their in-house creative people. They can open the doors for people like me and others to submit ideas to them. It's called open innovation, and it is exploding in all different industries, from pet to toys to kitchen to hardware to DRTV to medical to automotive. Every industry needs ideas. If companies don't innovate, they die.
Yep, that is absolutely true. I love this. I love this whole conversation. So let's talk about one of your most outstanding accomplishments, something that is a standout for you that you're quite proud of.
Well, I guess it's changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I first started out, it was licensing my first product and then seeing that on TV. It was called the Michael Jordan Wall Ball. It was an indoor Nerf basketball game. The backboard was in the shape of Michael Jordan. And it was such a simple idea that when I sent it to Ohio Art that had the license of Michael Jordan, they loved it. 3 days later, I had a contract and it sold for 10 years. And every Saturday morning, I'd sit there with my family and there was a commercial with Michael Jordan shooting this little Nerf ball into this basket. And he would say, the best looking backboard I've ever seen. That gave me the confidence that I could do this.
Wow.
And then eventually I had other products that were endorsed by other celebrities and they hit the market. So I think at that point that was helpful for me to say, hey, look, I'm okay. I'm different, but I'm okay. I can figure this out. And then I guess the next biggest accomplishment was writing for publications such as Forbes.
Mm-hmm.
I've written quite a bit for a decade, but being very consistent with it and not giving up and still being curious. Today, I think my biggest accomplishment is helping others, seeing other people, using my 10 steps and becoming successful. Because every time they're successful, I'm successful.
And that feels pretty good, right?
Yeah, we're kind of tied together now. So I think it has changed. I'm still curious. I'm still in the game of licensing. I have a product I work with a couple other inventors called Fishbone.
Okay.
And people can go to fishbone.com and they can see this packaging innovation that eliminates the plastic rings on beverages, which are just terrible for the environment.
Oh my gosh, they're terrible.
Yeah, so that's being launched, and one of our first customers was Brita.
Yep.
A company does the filters. They launched their own product, water product, and you'll see that Fishbone on that particular product now, which is rolling out in California.
Oh, that is great. Not only is that it's great, but it's just helping with the sustainability and the environment, and then that just adds one more element to what an amazing product line.
It's amazing to be part of a team that's making a difference and using some of the skills I've learned, filing the right intellectual property, making sure the licensing agreements are done correctly, and then watching that have an impact. So extremely rewarding.
Great. Let's talk on the opposite of that. Let's talk about one of your greatest challenges or a challenge. I just love a great story that you faced and then how you worked through that.
Well, I don't know if I worked through it very well, but I'll tell you a story. I had created another packaging innovation many years ago, and it was on quite a few products. It was on Nescafe coffee in Japan and Jim Beam here in the States and many other products. And a very large toy company contacted me, Lego, and they wanted to put it on one of their toys. So I made samples, and fast forward, they used my innovation without paying a royalty.
Wow.
And it was a shock. Of course, it's like, what just happened there?
Yeah.
And ultimately, I sued them in federal court, San Francisco federal court. And here I'm just a small inventor suing an extremely large company.
Yeah.
So it took 3 years, and 2 weeks before it went to trial, after three long years, we settled. So that experience, I wouldn't wish on anybody, but it was one of the greatest experiences I could have possibly had. It taught me a lot about intellectual property, about the court system. It taught me about what not to do. It taught me about trying to work things out before they escalate. I think there's a lot of things people can do. I think we rush to judgment too quick. I think we need to slow down, take a deep breath, and see if we can work it out. Because there's always ways to work it out before it gets to the point where you're spending all this time and money on something that, at the end of the day, I don't know if it was that important. So that was a pretty big obstacle. That's a big emotional obstacle, because when someone takes something from you, you feel violated a little bit, right?
Yep, 100%.
So I got over that, and now I help others when situations appear that maybe having a cool head, you can get through it without spending too much time or money on it.
That's great. And that is what it is, a lot of time, a lot of money, and they usually isn't a huge big winner at the end of the day. So
yeah,
it's tough. So let's talk on a more positive note. What does working from your happy place mean to you?
Well, that's a really great question. I'm really glad we're having it too. My happy place is really doing the things I want to do each and every day, and being able to design that lifestyle and waking up every day excited about the day ahead. I think I'm very fortunate to be able to do that. I'm also very fortunate to realize that for entrepreneurs, we have a tendency sometimes to live in the future and not live in the present, because we're always looking to reach our goals. And I think that's a mistake. I think it's okay to work towards them and work very hard and be persistent and be very determined. But at the end of the day, those are just goals. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss things that are really important to you, such as family and relationships with friends. So I think my happy place is realizing there's a balance and trying to enjoy each and every day. And smelling the roses along the way, right?
Yep. It's definitely one of my greatest challenges throughout my years. I think I finally reached a good place, but in my younger years of growing my business, it was just with that next goal. Okay, great, we hit that. Let's move on to that next one. What's that next one? And just not really being present, not really enjoying the ride. You know what I mean? It's like, this is a great ride. Let's enjoy it. And I had to stop myself. I want to say that probably happened about, I don't know, 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. So not a terribly long time ago, but fortunately enough to go, all right, I need to make changes. And it's been really much more rewarding.
Well, I think you're right. We all have a tendency to try to climb the mountain and reach the top, right? And I think once you reach the top, you realize, well, that's not as great as I thought it was. And where's the other mountain to climb? Well, that's a vicious circle, because you're never truly going to be happy. And I don't think I was truly happy until I just let it go and said, all right, those mountains are great. I will get there. I will need a lot of people to help me get there. So just enjoy it and appreciate it and make sure you thank everyone that's helped you get there. Because you cannot get there by yourself. You're going to need a lot of support there. So just don't forget, what it took to get there, but all the people along the way.
I think that is so important. And I do think that people, I don't know that they lose sight of that. I think that does happen, where they lose sight of how they got where they are. But I also think that people, they just also think they can do it all by themselves. They don't want to ask for help. They don't want to reach out. They don't want to have a support team. And I think that's another huge mistake that people make. And then I do think that getting kind of really further ahead in your career, it is important to remember the people that have helped you along the way. I also have found something very interesting too, and maybe you've discovered this, is that the way that people observe you when you've made it, like when you have done really, really well, they don't see the struggles in the backstory. You know, they see, oh wow, you know, you're fortunate, or you're lucky, or you're whatever it is they seem to think, or you don't understand. And it's like every person that has gone through that has had a backstory of, you know, struggle, or, you know, relearning, or trying things again, or hitting a wall and backing up and starting over. It's like there usually is no, that's why I like people to tell their sort of backstory, because it's real easy to look at somebody 20 years later and see all their successes and say, wow, and not understand the journey that it took to get there.
Well, you know what's really interesting? You read my resume at the very beginning, and I've only had one job, and that was at Worlds of Wonder, and I never had to fill out a resume. And I'm not a big resume guy, so it's really interesting to hear it, because it was never something that I cared much about. I do realize too that to have any amount of success, it's a little bit of luck too, right? So don't get too happy about it. don't be too, you know, high on yourself or too tough on yourself either, because it takes a lot of work and determination, and it takes a lot longer than people think, and there's a lot of luck involved, and what goes up does come down.
Yep.
So I don't make too much of it anymore. I like it, and I just keep on pushing forward and having a good time at it. But I don't get too excited about one thing or another, because every day is a little bit different, and try to enjoy every day, but not the goal. I think the goal isn't as great as people think it is. It's great to have it, but it's not what people think it is. No.
Agreed. So what advice would you give to others who are wanting to go down this entrepreneurial path? So let's take this in two ways here. Let's just do advice for entrepreneurs kind of wanting to go down this path. And then I would like you to give me three pieces of quick advice of someone that thinks they have an idea that they could take to some kind of market.
Okay. It's interesting. Most entrepreneurs think it's either I need access to somebody, or I need money, or I need a prototype, or I need a patent, right? But what they don't realize, what they really need is knowledge. And that's one thing that's not on their list. And so they're doing these things, and they end up probably a little frustrated, or it takes a little bit more time, or they're not quite sure why they're not getting there. So I tell everybody, slow it down a little bit. Find someone that's already done exactly what you want to do, and get as close as you can to that person and learn as much as you can. Better yet, if there's an industry you're interested in, why don't you work for someone that's in that industry and learn from them? And I don't think you're ever defined by a job. So collect all those tools that you're going to need to eventually go off and do it yourself. And you don't have to make every mistake. Learn from others.
That's great advice.
Yeah. And the other part, I think the only tips I would give were probably the same types of tips. Realize it's going to take longer than you think it's going to take. Okay. Realize you're going to have to fail a little bit to succeed. That's just part of it. And keep moving forward. Nothing's perfect. I guess someone said, you know, ship it. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. If you're 85% there, ship it out the door. You're fine. And just keep learning. Be curious. And listen to your audience. Listen to your customer. Love your customer. And even the negative reviews, learn their gold. There's gold nuggets in those negative reviews.
Right.
It's hard to take. No one likes criticism. But there's some really good stuff in there if you just look at it and take it and use it to your advantage. And don't give up too early. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And you know what? That's so true is, and people can be very critical, but I always tell people, you know, instead of getting defensive about everything they said, you know, parts of that just are not true. But why don't you find the grain of truth in there? Like, why don't you be objective and say, is there something to this or something I could be doing better? Or does this make sense? I just think if people could learn to take their emotions out of it and allow for that sort of critiquing a bit and, you know, for things that are harsh, then move on. You know, one of the best, however you want to look at it, critiques that I ever received early on in my career, it was only probably the third speech that I had done for about 200 people, and I was pretty excited, and the audience went crazy, and everybody was coming up to me after and saying, oh my gosh, that was so good, I learned so much, and I was feeling pretty good. I was like, wow, that went great. I'm finding my stride here. And I was checking out of the hotel and this lady came up to me and she was, you know, a little obnoxious in the way that she did it. But she said, you are just really hard to listen to. Your voice was so shrill. It was making my hearing aids go off. And I just stood there like dumbfounded in front of the hotel person checking me out. And I said, oh, well, thanks. I'll keep that in mind. And I was kind of mad. I was like, how, like my first was this, in, you know, indignant thing. It was like, how dare her after I just did that. And all those people, you know, came up and said, what a great job I did. And that's the only thing she got out of it. And so I was feeling that way. And then I kind of walked along and by myself and with my little luggage heading to the airport. And I said, okay, well, clearly that was an issue for her. Mm-hmm. And I came home and I got some lessons from a voice coach. Mm-hmm. And I said, teach me how to be more excited without making my voice get really high pitched. Mm-hmm. Teach me how to be more like singers and sing not from my throat, but deeper. And I got those few lessons, and what a difference. And had I just thought, what a jerk lady, you know what I mean? And not paid any attention to that, I don't think I would have gone on to have as good a career as I had.
Well, you know, what's amazing is that's the story you're telling, right? The yep. hardest, sometimes the things we go through that are the most difficult are end up being the best.
Yeah.
Those are the stories you tell. And I love those stories because you learn from them, right? And they do make a difference. And you changed. And now you're telling that story again. So I love those type of stories because I have way too many. And but I've realized that there's always room for improvement. I've also realized that when people are poking you, that's where we actually get our best marketing material. Because if they're poking you, there's something there.
Yep.
And it allows you to address it and come back and do a better job. So there's a great book, and hopefully everybody gets this. It's called The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. And that's a book that I probably use every single day in terms of a piece of it. And it basically says every day you're going to have an obstacle in front of you. And you can look at it two different ways. And the best way to look at it is that obstacle is an opportunity for greatness.
And who was that by?
That's Ryan Holiday.
Okay.
And it's kind of this really little, you know, it's kind of a funny little book, but it's one of those books that once you get it and it's at the right timing and you mm-hmm. start to look at, you know, all the problems you're going to have, because if you're in business or just in life, geez, it throws, you know, all these things in front of you. So how do you deal with it? Well, if you deal with it from a positive perspective as an opportunity for greatness, there's never a problem. It's always opportunities. So it's called The Obstacle is the Way. It's a great book.
Perfect. Well, this has been absolutely lovely. It's been an awesome interview. Thank you so much for giving us your time and your expertise and your pearls of wisdom, because they are tiny little pearls that we can take with us. And hopefully there's people listening that are feeling some of those same things you've talked about. I think you did a great job of reminding people of how they feel in those moments and how they can work past it. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. And if anybody's listening and this whole business model seems interesting, please mm-hmm. check out my YouTube channel. There's over 700 videos on how you can license your own ideas, and it's called Invent Right TV. So please join us and learn how to take that creativity and bring it to market so other people can share.
Oh, gosh. I was going to just ask you to share where they can find you. So that's perfect. Thank you so much. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much for joining in today. And remember to hit that subscribe or follow button so you don't miss a single great episode. And the best form of appreciation you can give us is by sharing it with a friend. So thank you once again for being part of Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.